Tonight our lesson is out of 1 Peter chapter 2, verses 13 to 17, living as model citizens before the secular government. We Christians believe a good Christian testimony before the unsaved world would include obeying the laws of the land. However, man's laws at times conflict with biblical righteousness, as in the state of Connecticut, where the biblical sin of adultery that used to be a violation of state law has now been repealed, and homosexual couples can now marry to form legally recognized human marriages. And that, of course, was something that was absolutely unheard of in Puritan times. Well, we need insight into living not only righteously, but also effectively before the world's often notoriously ungodly secular government. And 1 Peter chapter 2, 13 to 17 gives us that kind of a guidance. Let's look to the Lord in prayer tonight, and then we'll get into His Word. Father, we thank You for the privilege that we have of coming to the throne of grace to find help in time of need. And this is a time when we need to understand how to live before a secular world and a world with secular governments, often where the governments themselves adhere to laws or practices, or who have officials in them who are notoriously wicked and sinful in violation of the Word of God. So we ask for wisdom to understand the text itself tonight, to use it, and all for the glory of our Savior. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. We read the passage and then we'll look at 1 Peter chapter 2, 13 to 17. Submit yourselves to every ordinance of man for the Lord's sake, whether it be to the King of Supreme or unto governors as unto them that are sent by him for the punishment of evildoers and for the praise of them that do well. For so is the will of God, that with well-doing you may put to silence the ignorance of foolish men. As free and not using your liberty for a cloak of maliciousness, but as servants of God. Honor all men, love the brotherhood, fear God, honor the king. Okay, Peter's readers faced malicious slander from the pagan world that saw the Christian's testimony of uprightness as a critique of its own sins, and it led the world to hate believers. We know this from 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 12. It says, have your manner of life honest among the Gentiles, whereas they speak evil against you as evildoers. They may by your good works, which they shall behold, glorify God in the day of visitation. Why does the world hate the Christian? Well, Jesus explained this in John chapter 15, beginning at verse 18 and going to verse 22. I'll read that passage. Jesus told his disciples, of course this would have been shortly before his crucifixion in John 15, 18, if the world hates you, you know that it hated me before it hated you. If you were of the world would love its own, but because you are not of the world, but I've chosen you out of or away from the world, therefore the world hates you. Remember the word that I said unto you, the slave is not greater than his master? If they've persecuted me, they will also persecute you. They have kept my saying, then we'll keep yours as well. But all these things will they do unto you for my name's sake, because they do not know him that sent me. If I had not come and spoken unto them, they had not had sin, but now they have no cloak for their sin. I didn't mean that they weren't sinners before he came, but they wouldn't have had sin identified as sin. And so when Jesus identified their sin as sin, they couldn't hide it anymore. And so they had to respond to that, and they responded, instead of believing in Christ, they responded by hating him. So a Christian himself automatically creates a tension with the unsaved world. You don't even have to, and we should never act in ways that intentionally irritate people, but the very righteous stand of a believer is a critique on the world around him. So there's a tension that automatically arises there. So Peter called Christians to live wisely before the lost for the testimony of Christ in functioning as model citizens before the pagan world and its ungodly government officials. See, that's the answer. The answer is to live as model citizens, where they can't find anything that they can pick us apart with. And that has a tendency to mitigate that hatred, at least the expression of it, because people respect people who are model citizens. Peter directed believers in Christ to submit themselves to every authority of the secular government for the sake of their testimony in Christ. Now, the word authority is kitias. It literally means creation, and here it's institution or law. So the believer is to heed every institution of the government and the laws created by those institutions. Now, that meant that Peter's readers should submit to the Roman emperor, the king, as to the supreme ruler of the land. You'll notice the first 13, submit yourselves to every ordinance, whether it be to the king as supreme. Now, that has a lot of punch because the king at that particular time was the Roman emperor Nero. And he had come to power in AD 64, about the time that this epistle was written, according to the Bible Knowledge Commentary. And he had either just begun or was about to begin his infamous, terrible persecution of Christians. Nero was the one who made torches out of the bodies of Christians and covered them with tar and lit them so he could see his way in the garden. I mean, he was absolutely brutal. And some scholars believe that he was actually insane. Now, besides submitting to Emperor Nero, Peter's readers were to submit themselves to Roman governors sent by the emperor to rule in local realms. In verse 14, it says, "Or unto governors as unto them that are sent by him for the punishment of evildoers." Now, the word governors there is used in Matthew 27, verse 2 of Pontius Pilate, who was the governor. Now, we all know what kind of character Pontius Pilate was. He gave in to the pressures of the Jews in order to put Jesus to death. Pilate was the one who mingled the blood of Galileans with their sacrifices. Remember, Jesus mentioned that in Luke chapter 13. Pilate put down when he was ruling in Galilee before he became procurator of Judea. He put down an uprising by Jews up in Galilee brutally doing so. And Pontius Pilate himself ended up, according to history, he died insane up in Gaul, because he was deposed and the emperor deposed him, and finally he ended up there. So that's the kind of character he was. So the word for governor is from hegemone, which is used of Pontius Pilate, who yielded to political pressure from the Jews to sanction the crucifixion of Jesus Christ in John 19, 12 to 16. So Peter's Christian readers were to submit even to very ungodly regional rulers like Pilate. It's interesting, I hear people and often Christians complaining about the President of the United States, President Barack Obama. Then we have people who are complaining in the state about our governor, Governor Daniel Malloy, and the things that he's doing. And in fact, a lot of people are upset about that, not only Christians, but others, and raising taxes and so forth. Well, we're still supposed to submit ourselves to these. So Peter's Christian readers were to submit even to very ungodly regional rulers like Pontius Pilate. Now, this submission was aimed at aligning with God's general purpose in government. That was to use rulers in general to punish evildoers and reward the good to keep order in human society. The last part of verse 14, for the punishment of evildoers and for the praise of them that do well. See, governors are put up and the kings are put up to punish evildoers and praise those that do well. The question is, what if the ruler is wicked? The answer for that is in verse 15. The tension of these commands with the fact that the emperor, his governors, or some of the government laws were evil, Peter's readers had to know how to submit to these entities. So the answer is given in the principle of verse 15. Let me read it. For so is the will of God, that with doing well you may put to silence the ignorance of foolish men. What God wants us to do is to live in such a way that even from foolish man, even from evil man's perspective, we're unimpeachable. So that means we're going to have to be very careful with our behavior. It doesn't mean that we do that which is evil, but we have to operate somehow within the realms of the law so that even people who have a very twisted view of right and wrong can't find anything wrong with us. Now that takes real delicate balance, and we'll explain that in a little bit. So Peter's readers had to act as model citizens whose testimonies were above reproach, even in the eyes of the lost world. Now this meant that though the believer would not align with government laws that to heed would cause him to sin, the believer would yet act in a way that showed that he was a model citizen, so he would still provide a quality testimony. Now I have given an illustration in the notes. For example, though we do not practice adultery and homosexual marriage that are sanctioned by the state, just because the state sanctions it doesn't mean we practice it. But we don't attack those people who do those evils. Notice, we don't attack people who are adulteries. We don't attack homosexuals. Now, it's interesting that God judged homosexuals in Sodom and Gomorrah. He destroyed them. But that's not what we're called to do. That's God's business if he wants to handle that. What we're called to do is to respect all men. You notice verse 17, honor all men. We are supposed to honor homosexuals. We're supposed to honor adulterers. You know, honor them as people. Now, that's a tough road to hoe. And obviously, we can't get too close to them. We can't fellowship with them. But nevertheless, we need to respect them. We need to treat these people respectfully and honorably. And that's something that's tough. We need to do it. So we respect them as people, showing the world, even in its spiritually dulled way of thought, that we are still model citizens. See, if we show respect to the homosexual as people, we show respect to people who are adulterers, there's nobody in the world that's going to say that we're bad people. We're hateful people, even though they have a distorted view. And that's the way we should be acting. We should be acting respectfully. Now, this is tough. I know there's a store often I frequent, and there's a man there who is noticeably gay. And it's difficult for me to be around because he's effeminate, and his actions are, his thinking, the way he talks, you know, his hands and everything, and it bothers the dickens out of me. But sometimes he's a checker at the store where I go, and I have to do business with the man. So, you know, I try real hard never to say anything negative or act negatively and so forth, and just talk very surface material and just get through the line and go out. That's the best I can do. But because it's incredibly difficult to relate to that party. It'd be like the ladies here trying to relate to a lesbian in a store situation. It's very, very difficult. But that's what God calls us to do. Now, the believer must submit this way to government authority, not out of fear of the government itself, for he's spiritually free in Christ from bondage to human rulers. However, he should willingly submit as a servant of God, like Christ did, with the aim of living a good testimony for the Lord before the lost world and its government officials. So it says in verse 16, as free, not using your liberty for a cloak of maliciousness, but as slaves of God. So Peter summarized that the believer should show proper respect to all the parties involved, be it to love the brotherhood of believers, to revere God, or to honor the king and his officials. So if we have interactions with Governor Dan O'Malley, what God wants us to do is to treat him as with respect. He is the governor of the state of Connecticut, whether people like it or not, whether they approve of his things or not. He is supposed to be. It's interesting how Jesus interacted with Pontius Pilate. When Pilate asked him, "Are you a king?" Jesus said, "Are you saying this of yourself, or did others tell it to you?" And the reason he asked him the question is because if Pilate was asking himself, Pilate was thinking that if Jesus was claiming to be a king, then he was at odds with and therefore trying to create an insurrection against Rome, which wasn't true, and Jesus had to clarify it. On the other hand, if he's a king in the Jewish sense, that he's the Messiah that's to come, but he's not going to overthrow Rome at this time, that's another matter. So Jesus clarified, "I am a king. But not the kind of a king. I'm not a political king that's out to overthrow Rome." So Pontius Pilate went back to the people and said, "I find no fault in him. And if he's not going after Rome, I have no problem with him. He wants to call himself a king of some sort of philosophical system. That's his problem. But, you know, he's not trying to raise an armed rebellion here where we have to put it down to a bunch of soldiers." So Jesus clarified that he was not a lawless human being. So Peter summarized, believers should show proper respect for all parties. So believers, though they cannot sanction all the evil that thrives in governments and in their officials, believers must live as model citizens while living uprightly to produce a quality testimony for the Lord Jesus Christ. So may we live wisely as model citizens before the lost world's governments and officials. I've got an illustration to use. Some years ago, there was a believer that was telling me that according to the Constitution of the United States, we should not have a Federal Reserve System. And so the dollar bill that we have that is called a Federal Reserve Note really is not legal money. So we really shouldn't have to, according to the Constitution of the United States, pay taxes to the federal government because it's in violation of the Constitution. And I turned to the individual and I said, "You know, you may have a point because legally we're supposed to be on the gold standard according to the Constitution. But if you choose not to pay your taxes today, the IRS will go after you. They'll put you in court. The court will side with the IRS and you'll end up in prison." since that violates 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 15, because it does put to silence the ignorance of foolish men, it causes them to think that we are stealing from the government. You also have to keep in mind that we use Federal Reserve notes for legal tender. We actually pay bills with it, and other people accept. So it's treated as money. Whether it's constitutionally money or not is not the point. The point is, in society, we work for it and earn it. So we put kind of a value on it. So the IRS will argue on that base alone that since you went ahead and worked for that in order to make a living for it and you so forth, you're treating it as valuable. Therefore, you need to pay taxes out of that. And so I told this Christian, you know, in order to put to silence the ignorance of foolish men, you have to pay taxes with the Federal Reserve notes until hopefully the government ever gets back on the gold standard or whatnot. That's what we have to do, because that's our testimony, and our testimony is a lot more important at this point. You never know. The government may decide to switch and have as legal tender salt pellets, for goodness sakes. You know, I don't know what's going to happen to the dollar. Maybe they are going to have gold coins someday. I don't know. But whatever, you know, we're going to have to adjust and go according to the standard that is there. So we need to be careful that the bottom line in relating to the government is what can we do to protect our testimony, because ultimately our primary citizenship is not that of being American citizens. Our primary citizenship is being a citizenship of heaven. And as such, we represent the King of Kings who's coming, and he's going to invade this world someday and set up his kingdom of righteousness. So in view of that, I should cater everything that I am by way of my finances, by way of my rights as a human being or an American citizen, so forth, my citizenship, the capacity to vote and everything. I need to cater and manipulate and use all of those resources towards furthering the kingdom of heaven, not necessarily the kingdom of the United States. I'm supposed to be protective of the government here and be loyal as an American citizen, but that loyalty is limited to my loyalty to Christ. So it takes wisdom to figure that all out, but God wants us to do that which is right, and that which is right in this case is watching our testimony.